The spiritual search starts as a seeking for eternal bliss, as a seeking for eternal liberation, as a seeking for divine light and divine life. But the center remains with you. In the beginning, it is self-centered. Whatsoever you are seeking for yourself. This self-centeredness ultimately will prove a barrier, because you cannot be in total ecstasy if you are self-centered. This self-centeredness is a deep hindrance, but in the beginning it is bound to be so. It is natural that one should start the search for himself. There is no other way. You cannot start for someone else. It has to be self-centered in the beginning, but it must not be so in the end. In the beginning, it is okay. In the end, it is dangerous. A point comes where your self-centeredness must cease. Only then your being will flower into total bliss. It is just like this. You take breath in, you inhale. This is half breath. Then you have to exhale. That is another half part. And both breaths, inhaling, exhaling, make it a circle, total breath. If you think only to inhale and you see no point in exhaling, what is the use? You will die. Inhaling, which is necessary for life, will become dangerous for life if there is no exhaling. The breath must be released. The same happens when you start receiving blissful moments, when you start receiving ecstatic moments, when the eternal starts pouring upon you. The first thing is inhaling. You will inhale blissfulness, but then exhale it. Otherwise, you will die of your own blissfulness. That blissfulness will become poisonous. Exhale it. Distribute it. Give it to others. When you feel that you are filled with bliss, express it. Share it. Don't try to conserve it within you. Don't force it. Don't make it a point that it is your own. Don't capitalize it. Allow it to be shared by everyone. Really celebrate it in such a way that the whole existence shares it. Just when a flower blooms, the perfume goes away. The winds take it away, far away, to the far corners of the earth. Allow your perfume, your bliss, to be removed far away from you, to be shared. To be shared by existence itself. Why? Because then bliss has become total. Inhaling, exhaling, both. It becomes a circle. And the more you distribute it, the more you get it. The more you throw it away, the more you find it. Because now you are in contact with the infinite source. Don't be a miser. Don't be a miser, otherwise you will kill your own process. In the beginning, it is okay that you are self-centered, but when the bliss starts happening, it is dangerous. This sutra is concerned with this exhaling. Out of the silence, that is peace, a resonant voice shall arise, and this voice will say, it is not well, thou hast reaped, now thou must sow. And knowing this voice to be the silence itself, thou wilt obey. You have reaped. You have reaped bliss. You have reaped ecstasy. Now sow it for others. In the world, you sow first and then you reap it. In the spiritual dimension, everything is just the reverse. First you reap and then you sow. You have reaped what Buddha has sowed, what Jesus, Krishna and Muhammad have done. They have sowed seeds. You have reaped them. Now sow it for others. And remember well that sowing is just exhaling. It is part of the whole. And you will remain half, incomplete, imperfect, unless bliss has started flowing from you towards all. This is a very necessary law. And when you become silent, you hear it. No one else is saying it to you. Your own heart, your own innermost being gives you this. This indication, this teaching, this message is not from without. It is from your own innermost self. That's why thou will obey it. There is no possibility of not obeying it. It is your own. But if you know it well, it will be easy. It will be easy if you know it, that it is part of the process, that bliss should be distributed and shared. Then it will grow more. If you don't know about it, your miserliness, your old self-centeredness may delay the completion of the process. It can only be delayed. It cannot be disobeyed forever. But why delay it? So remember this. Whenever you feel any moment of bliss happening, share it. That's why my insistence, so much insistence, that after meditation, you must express your bliss. You must celebrate it. You must make it a point. Whatsoever happens to you, allow it to be said. Dance and sing. These are symbolic. Just to give you a continuous remembrance. When you have gone from here, many things will happen if you continue meditation. But whenever something happens to you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Even if you cannot do anything, just smiling to some stranger may be enough. Just taking the hand of some stranger in your hand and feeling the friend within him will do it. Or just sharing anything, just as a token. Or if there is no one and you are sitting under a tree, then dance and feel that you are dancing with the tree. Sing. and feel that you are singing with the birds. And sooner or later, you will come to understand that when you share it, even a tree is ready to share it. Now they have done a recent research in some Russian university. One psychoanalyst, some Pushkin, has come through many experiments to conclude that trees have similar emotions as man. Not only that, trees can be hypnotized. Not only that, if a person is hypnotized under a tree, and then under hypnosis, the person is suggested that you are very sad. The person becomes sad simultaneously, the tree becomes sad. And now these are experimental conclusions. Now there are recording mechanical devices which can record whether you are sad or happy, whether you are depressed, whether you are angry, whether you are sexual, because with every emotion a different electric wave is released from your mind. That electric wave can be recorded. But this has been a very strange conclusion, that the same wave is recorded from the tree also. You are dancing under a tree, happy. Your mind will give an indication that you are happy, and it will be recorded. If the device is connected with the tree also records the same wave. So Pushkin says that if you are dancing under a tree very happy, the tree shares it. She is happy also with you. And if tree can share, why not words? They are more alive. Why not animals? They are still more alive. And why not the whole existence? Sooner or later we will find that even stones share. Their soul may be hidden very deep, but it is there. And one day we are going to find out instruments which will give us indications that even a stone, a rock, has emotions. So wherever you are, whenever you feel that some ecstatic movement has come to you, dance to its tune, sing to its tune, and share your happiness in whatsoever way it happens to you to share, in whatsoever way you feel to share it, but share it. It will grow. With sharing, it grows. With miserliness, with not sharing, it dies away. It shrinks. Death is a shrinkage. Shrinking is death. Life is expansion. Allow it to expand. And once you know the feel of it, you will follow, because it is your own innermost self dictating. Thou who are now a disciple, able to stand, able to hear, able to see, able to speak, who hast conquered desire and attained to self-knowledge, who hast seen thy soul in its bloom and recognized it, and heard the voice of the silence, go thou to the hall of learning and read what is written there for thee. To hear the voice of the silence is to understand that from within comes the only true guidance. To go to the hall of learning is to enter the state in which learning becomes possible. Then will many words be written. There will many words be written for thee, and written in fiery letters for thee easily to read, for For when the disciple is ready, the master is ready also. To hear the voice of silence is to understand that from within comes the only true guidance. When you are silent, really silent, after the storm has passed, when you have fallen into silence spontaneously, you have not cultivated it, it has come to you, it has arisen within you spontaneously. In this silence, you will come to feel and understand and realize that now the true guidance is possible from your own innermost being. Now the master, the inner master, will appear to you. Your own innermost center is your real master. Outer masters can help, but their help is basically directed to find out this inner one. And when the inner one is found, there is no need for the outer master. You have become master in your own right, but this happens only when you have come to realize total inner silence, without any thought, without any word, without any imagination, without any ripple of any kind. When you have come to understand and feel ripple-less silence, thoughtless silence, non-moving, this silence becomes your inner master. Now, out of this silence, guidance will be given to you. For when the disciple is ready, the master is ready also. When you are ready to receive the inner guidance comes naturally, automatically. But the disciple must be ready. And what is meant by disciples being ready? It means to become totally receptive, humble, egoless, surrendered in a deep let go. When you are not saying anything, but just receptive to listen, you are not imposing any theory upon truth. You are without theories, naked, vacant, and ready to allow the truth to reveal it in its own way. You are not in any way, conscious or unconscious, forcing anything upon the truth. You have left all enforcement. You are just ready to be carried away wheresoever the truth leads to you. Then you are a disciple. There is a difference between a student and a disciple. A student is hankering for information. Disciple is not hankering for information. His search is for knowledge, authentic experience. He is not interested what others say. He is interested what he can feel. The student will collect information. He will train his memory. And the more his memory is trained, more information is accumulated, the more egoist he will become. A student can never be humble. A scholar can never be humble. His basic search is egoistic. Someone accumulates riches. Someone accumulates knowledge. There is no difference. Every accumulation feeds the ego. Whatsoever you accumulate, greater the quantity, more egoistic you will feel. So a student or a scholar is not a disciple. The very dimension is different. A disciple is not in search of accumulation. Rather, on the contrary, he is ready to throw all accumulations if truth happens only in that emptiness. He is ready to throw all accumulations. All knowledge he is ready to throw. Socrates is reported to have said in his old age, he was a disciple. He has reported to have said that now I can say I do not know anything. I am ignorant. It happened that one seer declared Socrates to be the most wise man of Athens. So those who heard the seer, they came running to Socrates and they said to Socrates, have you heard or not? That seer has said that you are the most wise man, the greatest wise man of Athens. Socrates said, there must have been some error. Go back and tell to the seer that Socrates says he knows nothing. He is absolutely ignorant. So those people went back to the seer and told him that your prophecy has been denied by Socrates himself. He says that I do not know anything. I am ignorant. The seer laughed and he said, because of this I say he is the most wise man. Because only a perfectly wise man can say that I do not know. Ignorant people always claim knowledge. The more ignorant, the more their claim that they know. This is part of ignorance. A student, a scholar, a pundit, they are all claiming. They are not disciples. And remember, if you are a student, you can become a teacher, but never a master. Only a disciple can become a master. If you are a student, a scholar, you can become a teacher, never a master. Only a disciple can become a master. Discipleship means egoless surrender. And once you surrender, your innermost self is revealed to you. That master is waiting for you. Waiting for you for lives together. In any moment of surrender, that master will be revealed to you. And that master is no one. It is your own innermost self. It is your own Atma. So really, this can be said, when you are a perfect disciple, you have become a master. You are no more a disciple at all. Discipleship achieved, you are transformed into a master.